said you less of a man? Who said you less of a man? Who said you less of a? 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 Who said you less of a man? Who said you less of a man? Who said you less of a?
You think that it's your job to do it all, yeah? You don't ask for help when you fall, yeah. They try to, but you don't involve them. Every now and then you need a hand, say.
Who said you less of a man? You do the best that you can. You took your blessings and ran. You had a running with trouble, you stressing, cause that wasn't part of the plan. You praying up to the man. You saving up for the fam. You waking up to some calls, talking about you need a couple of grand. You know they don't give a damn. You hoping that it's a scam. You feel like you take the money you make out your pocket and put it in Sam's. You need a holiday ham, yeah. You need some dressings and yams. If you can't afford to put food on the table, does that make you less of a man?
Think that is your job.
Welcome back, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. Officially season four, man, of My Man, episode one. You know, we had to bring Bryce back in the building,
man.
What's
good, everybody? It feels good, man. It's been like a year.
Man, MIA from the last two episodes, man. I know y'all been wondering where he's been. He hasn't fallen off the face of the earth, for sure.
So I just been chilling, y'all, man, improving myself and just existing. A lot of updates.
Yeah.
We'll get to those, maybe. If not, you know, whatever. But we are live right now from
Forever Faded, man, in Waukesha.
Out in Waukesha, you know, shout out Tim.
Tim Reddick and TJ Reddick, both of them are here, actually, man. And I appreciate y'all taking the time out of y'all busy day for being here, man. That's really valid. And I was talking to them, we've been talking about having them on, but like, the fact that this is here now is kind of a, like, surreal, you know, moment right now. I'm sitting in the barbershop, you know, people getting a haircut. You know, it is. You know, it's one
vibe.
Of the moments.
It's a little vibe up in here right now. It's incredible. We're kind of chilling, you know, kicking it smooth a little bit.
But man, Tim, man, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing this.
Hey, no worries. Shameless plug. Go check out my podcast, Success After Barber School, streaming on all platforms. Success After Barber School.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dedicated to helping new and seasoned barbers get to six figures quickly. Hey, yo, my seed's here.
Man.
The better part of me and whatnot.
For real.
You know what I mean? It's like the physical walking version of my sperm. It's physically in the building, folks.
I will call me your pet sperm.
and we got to say TJ. Introduce yourself, my dog.
Yes. What up? I'm TJ. I'm Tim's son, obviously. I'm excited to be
right
here.
Man, I coach this kid. I watched him grow up. Looks like a man now.
Man, yeah, let me say this, man. I saw this dude probably a year ago. He's probably half the size.
Man.
And now he got a full beard. Man, you gotta shrink a little bit, bro. You walk around like you beat my ass.
Hey, for real. He really put on that weight, man, grown man. Like, it's really incredible to see the progression in him, man. And I give a lot of credit to, you know, himself, his family, the support system, to the people around him. I mean, to you, you know what I'm saying, to you. Like, that's huge, man. Just be consistent with that and stick with that. But
yeah, in all seriousness, yeah, really, you're doing what you're doing, man. You're good, for real.
And Tim, you know, you laid this ground for him to come up and rise up and succeed to this point, man. And I want to get into this with you a little bit later, too. But, like, I want to talk about it a little bit right now. Like, it's in Waukesha, you know what I mean? Like, you know, people that don't know about Waukesha, like, outside of Wisconsin, right, you know, Waukesha is a very predominantly, you know, white community, right?
Correct.
But my man, you know, Tim here has established a base to build off of, you know, a legacy in a sense, right?
Yeah.
This barbershop in itself is just one layer of that.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm glad you said that layer, right? So, we're going to take the opportunity tonight and kind of peel back the onion. And I use that because there's so many layers to that. There's so many foundational pieces that started back in 1995 when I got out here for school plus military. Army National Guard, 91 Bravo. I was a combat medic is what I signed up for. You know, I'm not sure how far and how quickly we want to dive into everything, but like right now there's generations here, right? My son's 16. Your brother's 25, you're 32,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm 47, you know, and we got four generations of black men here. Also, simultaneously, right, my son is mixed.
Right.
His mom is white.
Yep, ours is, yeah.
And I was going to say, you know, my man's Bryce and his big bro,
Ty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Their mom is white. You know what I mean?
No, but
it literally escaped me that fast. So.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Because that's what it is. You know, if we do see that tie in with each other, because I wish, and then I'm glad you brought that up too, because I was looking at it from when I met him. I'm like, man, please let there be another black man here. Let's go, man! And as soon as I saw him, it was the first Wisco. I remember you know, remember that duel, the Wisco duel that we had. I seen you in the stands, and I'm like, thank God, man. Thank God, man. Yes. And I seen you, and I really seen you, man. I really did. I'm like, man, this is my man. Because it was the same. I was
like, they got a black coach.
This is my time. This is my time.
And it's a connection that you can't explain.
Especially being out here.
Man.
Yeah.
The representation is important, I mean, at every level.
I swear to
God. It's important for the kids. It's important for the adults.
And it's not like it's a fear. Right. Don't get me wrong. It's not a fear. It's not a fear at all. It's just the fact of, like, having that support system, you know, without, you know what I'm saying, without it being family. It just the, like, I see you, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see you, brother. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to. And I love that. Like, I met you before I met you type of shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it was, man. And that's where that love grew. We just so happened to be a part of that same, like, culture mix of individuals. And, you know, with, you know, like you said, it, like, generational, man. And that is where we're going with this episode, which I'm so happy to have this with you, man. Seriously, man. But, yeah, man, this is Tim. This is son TJ. This is his barbershop, man. Like, it's such an honor to be here. We talked about it so many times.
Drop the location. You know, plug it in.
Hey, yo, we're located at 1427 East Racine Avenue, Unit H. 1427 East Racine Avenue, Unit H. You can Google the name Forever Faded. Find us everywhere. We're starting a second location soon. By June, July 1st, we'll be out in Oconomowoc. We're growing. We're growing, folks.
And that's huge. That's huge.
Awesome. Hey, keep my brother faded. You look good.
Man, I'm saying. For real.
That's you that's my brother?
Yeah. Him specifically,
and
man.
It's important for stuff like that out here because I'm not going to Great Clips.
Man, exactly. You're right. You know,
I'm just not. You know, I'm not comfortable. You know, I had in the past. Right. You know, my mom has taken me there. But, you know, she's a white lady. She had no idea.
Right, man. I got my lining pushed so back, far back. I was so angry, dog. Before I was even aware of what that shit was.
Hey, you know
so
what's funny? Man. Long as we're talking about barbering and whatnot, I actually got three phenomenal white females. Megan, Chelsea, Lexus gonna kick my butt because she mixed.
Half white.
Let's see it out here. But either way, though, they can cut black hair, like, for real. They do an awesome job.
Awesome.
And they have black clients that come in and they'll only go see them and stuff. And I only bring that up because I train them. So, yeah.
That goes in my way, awesome. Man.
That grants an exception to the rule that, you know, if you're not black, you can't cut black hair. There are people that can.
There really is.
And it's a learned skill. Good job, too.
It's a learned skill, like everything else, right?
Right.
Yes. No matter what we endeavor out or we embark on in life, we all start at zero. We all start at square one at the beginning. So, you know, keep that in mind as you decide to pick up a new skill set. Don't be scared of it, right? Just look at it as like, take that first step.
Right.
And then follow it with the second step. And embrace the failure. Don't just expect it.
Right, correct.
Like, embrace it, right? Because every step you fail, it's not a loss. It's a learning experience.
Right.
Just look for the silver lining. Look for what you're learning so you don't continue your mistakes and just keep building forward.
And that in itself is huge because I look at it like this. Like, I know you from Atlanta before, you know, before coming out here, and then now I met you, you know, I coached him, you know, we grew together, you know, I'm growing with you now, like, you're establishing that, like, that community out here, man, and it's really important that you are leading this charge, man, of just building this base, and it's cool to see, because I look at him, and I was telling you before, like, I see a grown man in him. He's not a grown man, though, but, you know, I see that, like, I see that established base in him,
and
it's incredible. It's incredible, because you're almost to a point where, like, you set him up for so much success before, you know, I'll even say this, before you're even aware of it. You know what I'm saying? He's setting you up to just prosper, my man, and that's great. And I love to see that in the black community. And the fact is, you know, a lot of fathers, black fathers, will get this. And I'll say, you may be fathers in general, too. But more specifically, black fathers get this stigma of, like, not being involved in their kids' lives. Not only are you involved, you set the tone for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And that's really incredible, man. That's why I would say I have so much respect for you, but that's one of the reasons why I have so much respect for you. So,
and I appreciate that.
For real.
And again, you know, one of the biggest problems I've always had in life is accepting those accolades, no matter where they come from and everything, because I've never viewed myself as doing more than what I've set out to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing my job, right?
Yeah.
I said this a couple days ago in class and everything. As a parent, right, my child doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me anything other than being respectful and showing me some love and a little bit of gratitude. But outside of those three things, I owe him because he didn't ask to be here.
That's
you know what I mean?
That's
I'm getting at.
That's a phenomenal mentality.
So many parents look at their kids like, oh, well, I provide this and I do this and I do that. So you owe me. They owe you respect. They owe you gratitude. They owe you love. be thankful, be respectful, and show me a hug here and there and whatnot. You know what I mean? Outside of that, it's your life. You have to live it. How many times do I tell you that?
All the time.
Right? I want him to play football. I want him to, I believe he can go to the NFL. My son looked at me and said, "Dad, I want to power lift."
Man, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's going to disown me if I don't play college football at this point.
Well, we were talking about him being a chef and all of that, man. Like, oh, man, you know, all like the whole, everything that he will support you behind, he'll get behind. Whatever you want to do, he's rocking with, he's vibing with.
Right.
And it's cool
mentality.
To see.
I love that mentality. Because there is that's really impressive and important.
There is that push in our community to be like, okay, you play football. Well, you better make it to the league. Mm-hmm. Or you play football, you better get us out of here. Get us out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, you got nowhere to get up out of. You already here.
Look, but it's so funny. I got us up out already.
You got him out. You got him up out
now. Now it's like, how many times have I told you, right? Like, leave Waukesha. No matter what you do, leave Waukesha.
Yeah.
Why? For one reason, right? I don't care where you're born at. If you get the opportunity to leave, leave.
Yes,
because now you're no longer held captive to the stereotypical perceptions of everybody else around you.
Right,
you don't have to no longer be that person.
Yeah,
you can go out and reinvent yourself, figure out who it is you want to be. You know what
that's
I mean?
Huge.
No pressure.
I love
that's
it.
Huge. Yeah.
I love, man,
come on, let's
awesome.
Go. Let's grow.
That's what
I'm pointing out and putting it on the t-shirt.
Let's go.
Let's grow. Let's grow.
I like that.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Man, I do like that.
Yeah.
But man, I think the bottom line is, you know, it's good to see black man and young black men succeed and prosper in, you know, the times that we live in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying, you know, we live in times that were, you know, Jim Crow era. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we are able to set us up for success within the means of whatever success is in that moment. Because success doesn't come in.
If I could paraphrase, right?
Right.
If you can allow me to just paraphrase.
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
I believe what I'm hearing, right, is there has never been a better time for us as black men to succeed, right?
Yeah.
Pursue our dreams, and not just pursue them, but obtain them at the highest level possible.
Right.
Because there is no figment anymore. There isn't red line anymore.
Right. Yeah.
If you can afford to be in my neighborhood, then buy the house next door.
Yeah.
Right? It's that simple.
Yeah.
I live in a predominantly white neighborhood because my neighborhood is expensive. If you can afford to be in my neighborhood, then buy the house next door.
Right.
But by golly, you better take care of your yard.
Right,
you better pick up the dog food.
Yard, next to mine.
I just moved into the nicest place that I've ever lived. And I just found myself the other day, I almost filed a complaint. I almost dropped a little note to the management team. I'm like, look, man, they had this big old crate outside, you know, parked and taking up two spots. I'm like, man, you better get this off my property, man. It is about this kind of maintaining this level of ability that you have to live somewhere and kind of exist in a place where you feel good about it. You want to take care of something that's yours. You know, you don't. So the main problem I think that a lot of black people that live in, you know, these places in the hood and you know, everyone's getting shot, you know, there's garbage everywhere. And it's because they're either renting or they don't care about it because it's not theirs. They don't give a shit. If it's not mine, why would I care? You know, why? If my place is getting shot up, you know, if there's litter on my, it's not my property. I don't care.
Right. The pride in where you live is lost. And I was even saying more recent years is the past decade or two. Like the pride of where you live is not important anymore to some people because they are renting and they are renting from somebody else. So what it kind of ties into, and this is not just for black people, this is for y'all, all the races in the same time. And I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear what
this
you're saying.
This is for anybody.
I hear what you're saying.
I mean, and look, there are places where it's you know it's hood,
right.
and it don't look bad like that.
We
it's,
can talk
it's,
about,
all of, it's all about people caring. It's about a standard that we set.
Yeah.
And
shout out Stylus.
If you.
Hey, no dirty Stylus. No poems against anybody that listens to Stylus. I know that you're gonna say something to me.
And even there, there's clean places too.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's get started.
But man,
I was gonna say this is perfect way to jump into it.
I want to ask y'all. That's what we do on every podcast and every episode. We do a check in, a mental health check in, man.
Yep.
On how you doing today, actually. So Tim, I'll start out with you, man. Scale of 1 to 10. If you got to scale it out, man, how you doing on your mental health wise?
My surrogate father, who's really my uncle. He's a pastor, and he would tell you if he were here, every day above ground is a good day, that I'm upright and taking nourishment.
I like that.
That's how I look at it. So every day above ground upright and taking nourishment is a good day. So I'm always at a 10, right? Okay. And I get down sometime and whatnot, but even in me being down, I have to remember that somebody's got it worse than me. Somebody's laid up. You know what I mean? So what can I do to take advantage of the being upright and taking nourishment that God has given me today? You know what I mean? Like, we crack a lot of jokes and we say a lot of things that may rub people the wrong way, but at the end of the day, like, make no mistake about it, right? I understand how my people got to where they're at as far as the inner cities go. Mm-hmm. I understand why the mentality is the way it is. I understand what was stolen from us, mm-hmm. and I understand what was given to us and everything, you know? So when we really start unpacking this thing called mental health, you got to understand that there's years of trauma inside of our DNA that creates the mentality in the inner city of Milwaukee, specifically as well as Chicago or Detroit or Compton and whatnot. You know what I mean? And if I had to paraphrase and break it down in 30 seconds, I would say this to you, right? I would say they broke up the black family, right? Meaning they separated the husband and wife. How did they do it and everything? They got rid of the jobs, right? No more jobs on the bus routes. They gave us welfare to the women. They created this term called independent strong black women. Mm-hmm. No other race has to deal with an independent single woman, period. Move forward. Then they gave us drugs. And then doing the drugs and everything, now they start locking our men up.
Right.
Then also with simultaneous welfare, they made rules that said if you have a strong-bodied man in the house, you can't take these supplements. You can't get this welfare. So now dad have to move out. Even though he got two kids over here with mine, he go moves in with a single lady over here, and then he knocks her up. Now we got baby daddy, baby mama syndrome and whatnot. They did a damn good job systematically tearing our family apart and implementing what now is known as the ghetto. It was a scientific experiment created by the Nazis way back in the day with the Jews and whatnot of whatever. Either way, with the Jews, and it basically said, right, if you take a people, regardless of their nationality, put them in a place, stack them on top of each other, limit their resources, they will inevitably kill each other for the scraps that are left. We see that across America and across the world.
Right.
Yeah, that's some profound, very intelligent stuff. And there's a lot of facts that, I mean, if people are listening and you don't believe that, that's all free.
It's all documented. It is.
That's all well real documented things that very well did happen. I mean, that stuff that's sad, and that's the sad reality that I'm living. But yeah,
and the thing is, like, other people that really hear him, what he's saying, like, when they really hear him, have gone through that. You know, they have actually actively seen that. They've been a part of that. You know,
I'm a product of that. I'm a product of the welfare system. My mom was a single mom with a mental illness. I remember going to North Division neighborhood, Northcott, and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you listen to words I'm saying, I know what a block of cheese looked like. Man. I remember getting the government peanut butter that had two ingredients, oil and peanuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went through that. I powdered dry milk. Like, you know what I mean? I know what it feels like to go hungry for real. Going through the cabinets and there's no food there, going down to grandma's house, getting bags of groceries, coming back. Like, that was me, lying to my friends and stuff when the first came on a Friday. Oh, my mama get her check today. She get paid today. Oh, where she work at?
Yeah, exactly.
I just go quiet and everything. Man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me to be where I'm at and everything, everybody's like, oh, great, you know. But I really do have plans of going back, you know, and helping out. It wasn't a, oh, I got mine, and now I ain't worried about nobody else. It's just that the people I worry about ain't really ready to receive me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They listen to the way I talk, and it's like, oh, you Uncle Tom? You know what I mean? Because the ignorance of the inner city, of the ignorance, and that's not everybody.
Right?
No, but you're right. But specifically, where I come from, being 53206. You know what I mean? Check out the documentary, 53206. One of the top five worst area codes for a young black man to grow up in. They're said between 35 and 25, you're going to be dead and in jail.
Yeah.
And I know what you're hearing right now. If you're from Cali in the West Coast or the East Coast, you're like, so what? That's my neighborhood. Yeah, but this is Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
When you look demographically and everything, for that to be true in such a small populace of people, that's profound.
It is. Yeah. It really
is. You know what I mean?
And especially the contrast. I mean, Cali, you know, you got miles and miles of that. I mean, you know, it's such a focused area in this city, and everywhere outside of it is nothing like that. So it's such a stark contrast. Makes it a lot harder for people over here to find opportunities outside of that.
Like, I have an unfortunate rule that I really don't go travel past Green Bay, and that is just me being, like, you know, very aware of my surroundings. Every time I've gone past Green Bay, it's been nothing but a bad time. So why would I go back up there again? You know, so we had a cabin back up in Spooner. And Spooner is the furthest north you can go in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, needless to say, that's no longer in our family.
It's no longer our family.
Anyway, right? Bro, let's...
But also, we're going to keep going on. So, speaking of...
I apologize.
No,
that's all right. Because we needed that. This is about dialogue.
That's exactly what we're talking about. We needed that. I was going to scream in a second. I'm like, man, you talking your shit.
Right, get the clap.
Come on. You need a standing ovation. But that's why he's a time guy. But yeah. TJ, how was your mental health, my boy?
Like my dad said, any day above ground is a great day.
Yes, sir.
I won't lie, personally, just learning how your mentality affects your reality. Recently, over the past month, I've really been focusing on that. So my mental health has been great most of the time. Because I've heard that what you listen to, the song lyrics you speak out, the thoughts you think, all manifest. And there's a certain time where I was listening to not the most positive music, and then I was singing the lyrics, and then that was manifesting into, oh, I think I'm depressed. Okay. And then I started to switch that, and I'm like, oh, I wasn't depressed. It might just be overstimulation, or I'm just tired. I need to step away for a second.
Yeah.
And realizing that has really helped me to start to get to, I guess, like the second level, I'll call it, of finding self-happiness.
Okay.
Because I've found that when you are able to find happiness within yourself, you don't rely on anyone else, and you find this sort of freedom.
Hey, man, how old are you, man?
Right, no,
I'm
like,
there's some adults that need to learn about
I'm
that.
I'm saying, you said a lot. You are a high school student. I see you every day in the hall. Not every day, but I see you in the hall. You are a high school student, right? Yeah. Bottom line, not even a senior yet.
Just turned 17.
Junior in high school. Saying what he does here, and the thing is, I love that in him, and I will say I give Tim the credit, but I can't, my man.
I gotta give
TJ the credit for that. That is huge, my man. And
I don't care how much you're trying to teach; they gotta be receptive.
To add on to that, my dad's been preaching this since I'd say I was about 10, but it's just been recently that I've been able to take in the knowledge and learn how to do it myself. Because as they were saying, knowledge is useless without the application of it. You could have all the knowledge in the world, but without the application of it, it's useless.
Jesus Christ.
And yes, I do listen to you, Dad.
Jesus Christ.
You gotta reiterate that.
Hey, I'll tell you right now. Let's go. This is a young God, man, gonna grow up to be a God in life, a king, a black king, a young black king, and he's going to be able to set the world on fire with his words and with his actions. And that's what I'm saying,
I'm
man.
I'm working on that.
And I'm telling you right now, the progress I've seen in this kid, man, I mean, it's incredible, dude. I mean, from mental and physical, I'm saying, like, from all aspects. So, like, I got to give you a round of applause in that sense. I wish we had a round of applause, but no, here, man, I'll give you one of them. But no, honestly, that's incredible to hear. That's truly incredible. You have no idea. From somebody from your age group saying what you just said. Mm-hmm. And I really hope anybody else listening to, because I know y'all listen to this. I know y'all do. You know who you are. Listen to what he just said and really go back if you need to. But, man, Bryce, we haven't had you on here in past two episodes. People want to know how you doing, man.
I'm good. Like I said, I just moved into a new place. I think I was still with Lauren the last time we recorded us.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, yes.
Yeah, man, I'm good. Recently, and I know I always talk about this, but I got to talk about it again. Social media stuff, man, I got to get off it. I think everybody's got to get off it. I think that it's just, you know, nobody posts the bad stuff. It's all just, you know, the good stuff. Everybody's making comparisons. Nobody has anything good to say on there. It's, I mean, you know, it's got very few positives that outweigh the negatives. And today I had something going on with that and just, you know, put a little bit of damper on my day. But otherwise, man, I can't complain. I cannot complain because I could also delete the same shit that I'm talking about. I say it every time that I'm going to do it. But I don't, man, because that's what, that's just the culture that we live in.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's tapped in.
And everybody got to be tapped, and if you're not on social media, people think, oh, what's wrong with this guy?
Exactly.
Right. And I'm like, man, I'm just nothing, dog. It's pissing me off. Right. It's making me sad. I don't like it anymore.
Right.
About to delete that shit.
You said a lot because that's an interesting topic we've had in the sense of, like, there are certain apps and certain, like, not even say people. It's not about the people. It's about, applications themselves. It's like,
right, it's good people on there, but I mean, there's the negative. It's like the subtle negativity and the trolls and just the toxic culture, man. If you're thinking about delete it, I would delete it. just because that's I'm gonna do it too. And I'm gonna come back next episode. I'm gonna check in.
Okay.
And then you gonna see, and then you okay. gonna see for yourself. I'm you gonna do that hey, shit, man.
Check, you heard him. Check me out, Bryce. So I do this at least once a year. I'm up to twice in 2022. Haven't done it for 2023. I take a 30-day break.
Yeah.
You don't have to delete it. Just walk away from 30 days and replace it with a book, replace it with some push-ups, replace it with whatever the fuck you need to replace it with. Just get your ass off of social media. Social media got your head all fucked up. All right, this Bernie Mac talking about
Bernie Mac
says,
you know what I mean?
You know it's
valid.
If
people
don't like
it,
I'll also say this though.
Fuck it.
And I'll also say this though, when it comes down to it, because I see what he's saying. I really hear what he's saying. I've been hearing what he's saying. I see the world like this. There was a meme I saw, like, you know, kids see the world this way, adults see the world this way. The one side with the kids was, you know, you see a vibrant, bright world. TJ, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but like, it's all over TikTok right now. And then adults see it this way, and it's gray and bland, and it's just that's what it is. I choose to believe in it, and this is what I've always believed in, is if you see the positive, you'll see more positive. You see the negative, you'll see more negative. And that's what it is. You know, that's what it comes out to me, for me, because I hear what you're saying.
Well, everything, the problem is, everything is positive on social media for the most part.
Okay.
You know,
the problem becomes when you try to compare that positivity that's portrayed to what?
Nobody, because look, I post all the new things that I got and all the stuff. I just don't operate like that. You know, I like to be real with, you know, my life, and there's no place for that on social media, which is why I have such a hard time with it, I think. But yeah, man, that's enough about that bullshit. Because it's not even. I and a lot of times I find myself in these comments engaging with these posts.
That's it.
I feel like these man. Like I don't know what, I don't know if it's an algorithm or if somebody's actively you know, worse for Instagram. Like, let's send this motherfucker. He doesn't. I feel like, you know, I hit a void on all these different things. I'm telling the algorithm, look, I don't like this. This makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to see posts from this account. But you know they. You couldn't do that to all every 100 million account, you know what I mean? Like there's so many accounts out there. You can't get rid of all the ones that you don't want to see, the ones that piss you off. And
females on my account that got OnlyFans.
Oh,
just not just saying.
No, I'm not talking about just talking about that too,
because it's like the algorithm, it feeds you all this shit, and then you end up like vibing with it and rocking with it. And at the end of the day, I see what you're saying too, because I really do dive into a point where I'm like, man, these motherfuckers are just ignorant. Why are you so ignorant? Why are you so stupid? Like, stupid. That's my biggest thing. I hated people the most. It's like people just being willfully ignorant and stupid. Yeah, stop being stupid. That's not easy to I can say that.
Why don't you stop being so damn stupid?
We talked about it at the end of season one, and it's like, man, people are still, even probably still, I'll say more stupid now. It's a willful ignorance that gets me. It's not even just saying like, okay, I'm ignorant to this fact. Okay, fine, you're ignorant. You don't know about it. But if you know about it and you don't do anything to change it, that's what gets me pissed off. So I really hear you.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, you're stupid as hell. Stop being, you know, or posting your thoughts out loud for everybody else.
Stop spewing bullshit.
That's what it came down to.
Anyway, man, that's enough about that social media stuff. You're going to check in next time. It's going to be gone.
Man, my man, say less.
But bro, how are you doing today?
Man, you know what, man? I woke up, I was like a 2-3, you know what I'm saying, on a scale.
Damn, wrong side of the bed.
You know, right, it's been like that, actually, man. Past couple weeks, and I'll say the place that I'm working at, I won't say the name, but the place that I'm working at is tough. It's not an easy job, and I really, truly believe in furthering and bettering our education system, because that's what it comes down to, and making sure kids have the opportunity, not even, you know, just it's deserved. They all kids deserve the opportunity to succeed in life, and if you don't set them up for success at a young age, they're gonna fail. Bottom line is, it doesn't matter where you're from. If you're from Milwaukee, if you're from Detroit, you're from Baltimore, you know what I'm saying? If you are listening to this and you see that your education system is lacking, or you know that your education system is lacking, you need to do something about it, because there's not enough being done. And I'm sitting across the board from lunches, from just support from top to bottom, man. If you're not able to make that contrast in kids having a good education to them becoming decent human beings in life, decent grown-ups, then I don't know what else to tell you, because that's what it boils down to, that lack of education. I'm not saying they need to go to college and get a degree. I'm saying from kindergarten to 12th grade, they need to be benefited and supported from, because that is what they are due.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they are due.
100%. There should be no argument. There's no free lunches. There should be no argument about lunches. There should be no argument about how much money you can put in X, Y, or Z. There should be no, okay, do we let this kid come back for this reason, or, you know, none of that. Should be none of that. No arguments or debates when it comes to raising our future.
Kids, right. We're talking about kids. And so the thing is, like, this is a whole different episode I'll get into later, man, but I don't want to get into it now. But at the same time, like, we all see it. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. But it's just the fact of the matter is, like, the education system. And that's not why I'm a 2 and 3, like, holy, you know what I'm saying? But that plays a part. Like, I see it every day. I go there every day, and it's just, it's I'm exhausted, man. Like, that's why we started this season so late. That's why I only did so many episodes. Like, I'm exhausted, man. You know, you get drained. Your mind gets drained. You get tired. My mind is just tired. So, but I also want to reiterate that I started at a 2-3. Now, you know, the weather was beautiful outside. I'm here with my man's, his son, TJ, my boy. I'm happy you're here, first of all. This is great. I'm at like a 5-6 now, man, really. Like, realistically. So this is beautiful. I got my brother back on here with me, man. So, yes, you know, sir. Really vibing right now. This is great to have these gentlemen, these black men on this podcast talking about mental health. So while we're on that topic of mental health, I want to get into the Chris Rock and Will Smith thing, you know, because that was, we waited long enough to talk about it. And I'm sure, you know, some of you familiar, some of you aren't, which is okay. What I wanted to discuss is not even just a slap. It's not the slap. It's not even, you know, really the Chris Rock special. It's
the slap is just one of the symptoms.
Yes, that is a symptom. You said it right. That's a symptom. So what I want to discuss is the reason behind this slap, because we all know it wasn't because of Chris Rock and what he said, right? It wasn't because of that. What it was really because of, and I won't even say it, it's because of Jada. You know, every man has gotten to a point where he's like, man, I wish a motherfucker would, man. Look, I wish somebody would try me today, because this is it. This is the day. I don't care who it is. Unless it's your mama, because I hope you don't smack your mama. Man, look, if you smack your mama, man.
I'm
going to
slap the shit out of you.
Right, if you smack your mama, man, look. I don't got nothing to say. But, like, you know, as a man, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I can't man up enough. And I was talking to somebody about this today, like, that phrase, man up, you know, needs to be dead. You know, we needed that shit, like, soon. It should have been dead already. But, like, you only man up so much. And I'm saying that phrase because that's what people expect a Will to do. Oh, your wife cheating on you? Man up. Your wife cheating on you? Go cheat back?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why? Like, why is that the reason? First of all, the only reason that this is even being talked about is because it's Will Smith and Chris Rock and it happened at the Oscars. If this would have happened between me and Tim, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we did this on a day-to-day, we see this all the time, you know, around black men in neighborhoods that are underappreciated, undervalued, and undersupplied. So there is so much more to this than what it is on the surface. So, lack of better words, Will Smith's mental health took a toll. We all saw it, unfortunately, play out on the red table talk. I called it the blue table talk, but the red table talk, because for some reason, he agreed to it. I'm not sure why.
I don't think he was expecting her to talk about all that.
They did acknowledge the fact prior to that they were going to talk about the entanglement, quote unquote, I'm using quotes, talk about entanglement because of, you know, what led up to it. They wanted to talk about it and get it all out there and put it all out on the table for everybody to hear.
Okay.
The problem I have with that is,
so Jada, he agreed to talk about it,
but he didn't know what was all going to be said. Right? Okay, so like, right. It was kind of like this, like, we don't know what's going to be said right now after this word. So like, he went in, knowing what happened, she called it an entanglement, she played it down, she got sympathy, right? If that was a man doing that.
But didn't they have some unspoken rule I heard about a while ago where they had an open relationship?
No, see, that's something that I thought. Just looking up. So I just did some research on this stuff, and there's a little timeline. You know, I don't know if it's all true, but August Alsina went and talked to Angela Yee. I don't know if it was a Breakfast Club or if it was on, you know, her own time, her own, you know, personal interview, whatever, don't matter. But he's the one that actually said that they had the open relationship. Right. And
that Jada said that.
He said that. Jada said that. And then he said that he had Will's blessing. Now,
see,
Jada, later that day, same day the interview happened, went later and said that none of that was true. And, right, you know, at that point, you know, that's where there's confusion. And they're always talking about Jada, Will, some shit, you know. Everybody wants the Jada, Will relationship. Well, yeah, everybody did in the past.
Right.
J. Cole got a song on it. You know
right, the Jenna will look.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You
know what I mean? Whatever. I certainly don't want that. Matter of fact, I want anything that is the exact opposite of
man,
that.
I'm serious.
I think that men get not enough credit in relationships these days. It's always men are all seem to be the problem. No one gives them enough slack. They give women all this credit, and Jada to this day she is still worshipped by people, even though you know she did this. This is it's damn near she like it's like shit, it's like right? mental yeah. torture
because it not you only know? Involved her husband and involved her kids. Yep. That was her son's best friend.
That was her son's best
like,
friend.
Like we can't keep glossing over that because that is a really big deal. Like all yeah. this wasn't uh-huh. just some random motherfucker. That was Jaden's best friend at that time.
Yeah, I just can't imagine like, this being, you know,
drug addicted, by the way. Addicted to drugs, right?
And you know, much younger, you know, so it's a little bit predatory to a sense. And Will is just expected to just hear this on the podcast and, you know, process it and be okay, you know. And I'm pretty sure he shed a few tears on the podcast.
Yeah.
And not to gloss over the fact that too, after she did this podcast, you know, she was, you know, she did get credit for being so open about it. And it's crazy to me because I didn't know that he agreed to talk about it on the podcast because I can't just, there's no way that I would sit there, especially with my partner, and talk about you cheating on me when we have two kids together. And everybody looks to our relationship. I get it. You know, be real. You know, don't put up a front, but you know, there comes to a point where you're Will Smith.
Right.
You know, everything that you have done in the past, you know, you could do no wrong.
Hey, Will's a better man than me. I would have left.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah.
Simple as that. And I understand what I'm saying, right? Like, because as men, when we get into relationships, marriage specifically, we go into marriage as if this is forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Women go into marriage, and I just heard this the other day, listening to someone else's podcast, and it just made sense. Women go into marriage like, I like this, I'm happy. And when they're no longer happy and they no longer like this, then they decide to exit. It's never forever with them and whatnot, versus us men and everything, we'll go through hell and high water before we make a decision to leave. Hence, scientifically proven, there's data that shows 90% of divorces are initiated by women.
Yeah.
Who are unhappy for whatever the reason may be. He works too much, but he provides every dollar and you don't have to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's never home. I don't get enough time and whatnot. Or you don't work enough. You don't make enough money, but he's always there.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? We can never do enough. So all that being said, this whole Will and Jada thing, it's easy from the outside looking in to point a finger and say what we would have done and how we should have behaved and everything. But at the end of the day, it's their relationship. I respect his choice to stay because it takes a strong man to put up with the shit that he's putting up with. It takes an even stronger man to take the backlash from the public scrutiny and stay there.
Right, because think about that. Like Will took all of that. Like, he essentially put himself in a position to say, look, we're not focused on Jada. I'm smacking Chris.
Right, I was going to say, he almost kind of like a, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, put the relationship
you almost
on,
said, yeah, no,
you know,
you
crucified
got it.
Himself,
keep going.
You know, to kind of take this, but, you know, was this Will Smith putting Jada on his back and say, look, babe, you know, everybody's going to be mad at me now.
Right.
You know, and not you.
But he's
you know,
say,
or was it just, you know, this motherfucker said the wrong thing to me today, and I'm going to slap the shit out of him.
It could have been both.
It could have been both, right?
It could have been a little column A, a little column B. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, but still. You know, I just...
Because as Chris Rock made that joke to Jada, had she not...
Will laughed at first.
He laughed his ass off, didn't he?
And she laughed at first.
The situation is really... And you broke it down before, too, and said, you know, there's a... You know, it could be a staged aspect to it, mentioning with the... You know, because he came from up top with the slap instead of, you know, he didn't really square it up. Not to mention that Chris Rock leaned forward into it. Now, if I'm Chris Rock... I would have squared up, but you know, I don't know how, you know.
We can't talk about the slap on here, man. We can't talk about the slap, dog.
Wait,
we talking about the mental health aspect. I hear what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a whole different conversation.
Okay, okay.
That's a whole different conversation. I hear you. I'll say this. Only reason I say that because the slap in itself is like, you know, a gunshot going off. That's a gunshot besides a slap. If there was a gun in his hand, he would have shot him. What did 21 say? If I was Will Smith, I would have smacked him with a stick. And he was serious, too. Like, if I was Will Smith, I would have smacked him with a stick. And he's saying that, like, okay, I'm going to go to bat for my wife in any way, shape, or form that I can. And I command that. I truly do. But then you get pushed.
But the thing is, though, and what we mentioned is he initially laughed at the joke.
He did. He did.
So which,
he did.
Which, you know, kind of leads me to is like, you know, why did he do it?
Man, right. No,
why
right.
did he do it? And it, you know, we can right speculate here. All we want, but we really have no idea. But what we do know is that he was very emotionally distraught throughout
right.
this whole experience. And regardless of, you know, that being a reason or not,
we got a Will Smith. You know, I really think it was a tea kettle motion or a moment. You know what I mean? Where the tea kettle just, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Just a tipping point.
It is.
He just got to that point where he was like, not today, I'm done.
Man,
you know what I mean?
It takes so much. As a human being, you only take so much. And then it gets to a point where you're like, let the next person say something wrong to me. This is happening.
And I've been there.
And it's like, right, man, I promise you. And it gets to, like, and we see that, like, if you grew up impoverished, you grew up without food, what are you gonna do? You're gonna steal food. What are you gonna, if you grew up without money, what are you gonna do? If you don't have money, you're gonna try to get money by any means necessary. Like, and that's the mental health aspect of this. So, like, the slapping itself was fucked up. You know, that's a whole different topic of conversation. But at the same time, like, his mind boiling up to that point was something that we are unaware of. We're never probably gonna see because it's Will Smith, and we're talking about Will Smith here. Like, this guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, yada yada yada. You know, Summertime. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy, you know, he's been in the media, the spotlight for. Decades.
And so has their relationship.
It's
been
a spotlight. Anybody else hear that rumor that she didn't want to marry dude or stay married to dude?
Tupac, she wanted,
She started something about her mother.
She started
kind of forced her hand.
You know, that's something
she
I heard started, recently, too. And it's like,
she started that
on
the red
all
table
these things
talk.
Coming out, and Will Smith.
The red table talking.
And he still stayed.
The red table talking itself.
You didn't want to what? You don't want to be where? Oh, shit, let me help you pack.
He has to listen to Jada get on this red table, right, and talk about their relationship with their daughter. Like, imagine that. Like, imagine that. Like, you know, I'm using you for example. Say, you know, Tim Reddick, you know, he was the husband situation. His wife got on the podcast, started talking openly about it for millions of years, about their relationship and, you know, their life, their personal life with his daughter. How old is she again? I'm sorry.
My daughter's 14.
14. So, like, think about that. Like, She can't even comprehend their relationship because she's not them. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Willow,
she's not even mentally evolved enough to really comprehend and take that in.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I get what you're saying.
And then go even further. Have his mother-in-law on the podcast with them.
I didn't even know that, man.
Like, this is sick.
It's got to be a horrible idea to go on a podcast and then talk.
Man,
anybody
who greenlit this shit actually
about your relationship and it begs the question: it's like, why is she doing that?
Right. No, honestly,
why does she feel like she either has to or why? You know does, and even worse, why would she feel like she wanted to? Because you know, if you air out your dirty laundry, it doesn't matter.
It's got to be for publicity.
It's for money, right? It's
gotta
for the money.
Because when was the last time she did anything significant? Man.
Right. Oh, I can't even think.
TV.
What was the movie with Quincy?
Set it off.
Like,
was that the last one?
That was probably the last one. And we're talking about the 90s.
Was that long ago?
Like, Set It Off.
Wow.
And she wasn't even the main actor and actress in that. Like, come on now. So it gets to a point now where you do have to wonder, as Will Smith, you know, you are this guy. That is received by human beings. Other human beings, they receive him as a demigod. I don't believe in looking up to celebrities like that because they're just corny like all of us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're just human beings like all of us.
Straight up humans like us, man. It's so evident.
Yeah,
especially with that particular situation.
He humanized himself without even knowing he did.
Right.
And they all humanized him by doing what that.
Right.
So this is, in a sense, people take him off that pedestal because of that. So they're looking at him like, oh, he's just a regular dude. Like, that's really like what it came down to. People were so shocked that that happened. I wasn't shocked. You know, I was like, shit, I'm surprised it took so long.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
I'm surprised it took so long.
Amidst the storm, you know, I remember Ha Ha Davis came out that joke. He was standing in a room full of celebrities and Will Smith, he said, oh, here go Will Smith.
Man.
And, Ha Ha Davis, you know, funny joke about it, but you know, I doubt that would be something that anybody would do right now.
Man.
He's not in the position of,
right.
You know, everyone's looking up to Will Smith and, you know, I want to be just like Will Smith. And
no, not
it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad,
no,
man.
Real.
It truly is. And I you know, you can't fully blame anybody for anything that ever happened, but I feel like Jada is kind of at fault here, at least a little bit to some extent.
I do see a centerpiece of some of the fault. You know, at the same time, I hear you. But when it comes down to it, this is a lot of what, and I even hate to go off on this tangent because it's a whole different topic. What a lot of women do get on social media is they say that I want this, 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 and this. And then they get asked, well, what do you bring to the table? Well, I bring, you know, such and such. I only bring my body. I only bring sex. I only bring, you know what I'm saying, nothing else. Like, nothing significant that I couldn't get any other way.
Right.
Like, there is nothing that you told me that you could provide without you saying, I need this, 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 and this.
Right.
So this is the problem within our society now, that people are not feeling obligated to benefit from each other. You know what I'm saying? I believe in, if I'm going to marry somebody, and this is the plan, you know, I want to be married for the rest of my life. I'm not just going to marry somebody to just break up in 10 years. That's not how I move. And I know that's what you just said too. So like, this is how I stand, and this is how I see the world. Now everybody sees it that way, but at the same time, we need to stop setting ourselves up for failure, because all you're doing at the end of the day is you're setting yourself up for failure by marrying somebody that expects you to do this, 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 and this, yada, yada. So like, you know, I mean, I see it all the time, man. You know, TikTok, you know, and Andrew Tate's and the Fresh and Fits of the world can go to hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stand them.
Right. We're not here to talk like Andrew Tate.
Because this is the thing.
Like that.
I know a lot of y'all. Let's make that clear. Listen to this and expect to, like, hear, like, the women bashing. I'm not ever going to bash women ever in my life.
That's not what we're here for. I mean,
I will never.
Because I mean, you're talking to three black men that are in, you know, very serious relationships.
Right.
I mean, I love Lauren. I love my partner. And I respect the shit out of her. And I would never. You know, some of the stuff Andrew Tate says about women, it just baffles me how anybody, you know, how any woman would listen to that and think that that is going to create a healthy relationship. You know, I agree with him on some points. Don't get me wrong. Like, everything he spews isn't bullshit.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
We're not going to sit here and equate or be equated to Andrew Tate. So if you're doing that, stop it.
Yeah, because this is the thing. One of the kids brought up to me, like, yeah, have you heard Andrew Tate before? And I'm like, man, yeah, I heard that punk ass motherfucker, man. I'm not sitting here and I'm advocating for him or anybody like him. But I'm also not going to sit here and say that no, women don't do any wrong. Because, yes, women and men and everybody in between does wrong. Everybody does.
If I can ask something real quick, right? I think the one thing we're all doing wrong when it comes to relationships is we get into relationships looking for the other person to define us. Mm-hmm. I think TJ touched on something earlier today in his conversation, which was basically find peace in your solitude.
Yep.
Find happiness within yourself, right? Find out who you are, define who you are. And once you know who you are, then you can look outward for someone who matches that, right? Because if you're both good alone, together you're going to be great.
Yeah, that's the most important part. That's so important. You. People forget that.
See?
If you don't know who the hell you are before you engage in a relationship, how the hell is the person that you're with supposed to know? So it's important to establish a baseline. And it's okay to change.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Fine, that's okay.
Everyone's once you start talking like TJ did, you're not a boy no more, man. You a man.
Right.
You are a man.
Even if your nuts ain't dropped.
You need to start paying bills and all. I'm just talking shit. But like, no, I mean, seriously, man. Like, it does boil down to finding happiness in your life. If you're looking out, if you're going out of your way and looking at happiness in anything else, you know, religion, whether it be, you know, video games, whether it be cars, whether it be money, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. It's with what makes you happy. And you said it the best. Any day above ground, that's a good day. And I love that. I hear that.
Upright and take a nourishment.
Yeah.
Because there are people above ground that's bedridden and they'd argue.
That's a good point.
So,
any
day above ground, upright and take a nourishment.
Man,
that's a damn good day.
That's solid, man.
I want to bring this to a full circle conversation.
Yeah.
You started off by saying you were at a 2 or a 3, right?
Yes, sir.
In those moments, right? In those days, right? What do you do to get yourself to a 10? How do you change your thought process on that?
I'm so happy you asked that. Nobody's ever asked me that before in my life. What I personally do, I look for the good in everybody else around me. And I see that good translate and mirror back off of them to me.
Can I simplify something for you?
Yes, sir.
I have gotten out of bed and stubbed my toe.
Right.
And instead of saying, damn, what else can go wrong? Because if you ask that question, the next thing's going to show up, right?
Murphy's Law.
Oh, man, yeah.
So a better replacement is today's going to be a good day.
It's gotta be.
Somebody cut me off today's gonna be a good day.
You know what?
Somebody pisses me off today's gonna be a good day. And you say it enough, and before you know it, you only notice this and see the good. Because what you think about is what you bring about. Right? The law of attraction is real, folks.
Now, this is what I say, and it's kind of similar, but it doesn't hit the same way. I say nothing in life is ever that bad, because it's really, truly not, unless, like, I can't even think of something right now off the top of my head. Nothing in life is ever that bad. Mm-hmm. You can't dwell on that bad, because there is more good to come. So, I mean, there is never anything that lingers that is that bad for that long. And I'm saying that after being in the hospital for 2 months straight, not knowing if I'm going to live or die type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm coming from personally.
Real shit.
Same time, like, you know, it was also like, man, this shit is happening right now. Like, I can't believe it. But at the same time, I had people around me. I had a support system. So that's what I guess I had to learn to rely on, is that support system. And I give you a lot of credit in that sense too, because he was young, he was there. I don't think we had a fight ever since.
Yeah, man, it took me, you know, it took like me a long time to kind of process that period of time in my life.
Cause we used to go at it, you know what I'm saying? We used to go at it, and then I was in the hospital. I'm like, man, I love this kid. I wouldn't want to lose it. And I'm saying that from my perspective.
It is crazy, because before that, you know, he was picking me up, putting me in garbage, putting me down and stuff.
All type of shit, you know, big brother shit. You know?
As he's supposed to do. And I'm the man I am today because I'm, you know, I'm a lot tougher and, you know, all that type of stuff. But I mean, there's something to be said about a relationship with a big brother.
Man,
I mean, I'm so glad I had somebody to look up to, because it really kind of just, bro. I mean, it goes without saying, you know, that you look towards and you have goals. But I mean, if you see someone actively, you know, accomplishing those goals, you kind of have a better path ahead of you. You have a clear, way to go. It takes away the mystery a little bit and kind of that anxiety of where you're going to end up. Yep. So, you know. Thank you, bro.
Man, no, thank you for saying that. That was really dope. And speaking of, you are a big brother now. So, hearing that, how does that make you feel, TJ? Like knowing that you can pave that way, you know, in that sense. I don't mean to put you on the spot. No.
What I've noticed is being an older brother and going through the things that your younger siblings are going to go through, I've personally tried to be better towards my younger sister. It's hard because obviously being a sister, you can't like roughhouse like you would with a brother.
Yeah.
So figuring out the brother-sister aspect versus I have an older brother is different. Like those two relationships are different. I found trying to help her and help her navigate a world full of men, and obviously things go wrong, things go right. I don't think you can ever really prepare someone for that, but I'm trying to do my best, as well as my father, to help prepare her for that and help her realize that what she all has being a young black woman in America, and what she might go through, what she might not go through, and how hard it can be sometimes.
Right.
Just trying to help give her pieces of advice, whether she takes it or not right now.
Right.
I don't think she knows I care about her more than dang there anyone else in the world.
Right.
Because we're always back and forth, rah, 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 rah. He hit me first, she hit me first. Like the sibling relationship. Yeah. It's more than that at the end of the day.
Right.
I feel like once she gets older, she'll hopefully understand that,
right?
Because man, I'd do anything for her.
And that's the thing, you would jump in front of a bullet if it came to that. And I'm praying to God, I hope it doesn't come to that, you know what I'm saying? But like you know, figuratively speaking, like it does come to a point where you're like, you know, I will live and I will die for this person, and that's your blood, you know what I'm saying? Like that means more than anything else in the world. And you brought up a good point, like navigating a world of men that you know men to be, like, you know what I'm saying? Like men can be disgusting scumbags, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, like, you can't ever prepare somebody for the world of something that you might not even know right now. Like, there are things that, like, men have done that you probably don't even know now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Which is unfortunate, like, because that's kind of where we live in. But there's also really good out there as well. Yeah. So, like, you prepare for both in that sense, but also it's like, you know, maintaining that same, like, sense of connection with each other. So, no, man, I'm really happy to hear you say that, because then that ties back into what we were talking about with, like, the Jadas of the world. Like, she'll see you, and then she won't want to lash out against a man that she relies on, or that she, like, essentially, okay, yeah, Jada relies on Will, right? So, like, she won't want to lash out and say, well, you're the breadwinner, so this is what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna get you back. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I won't even say that, but, like, I think the bottom line is men and women and everybody else need to come together and really realize all of our faults in each other, so that we can move on and we can look past that and see all the good. Because that's what people rely on too much, is all the faults, you know, the negative.
Yeah. So, segue, kind of switching lanes a little bit. Two things I want to say real quick.
Yeah.
First and foremost, one of my mentors a while ago looked at me and said, Tim, you can't teach your daughter how to be a lady. I kind of looked at him like, huh? He goes, let me explain. He goes, you can't teach your daughter how to be a lady because you're not a lady. you can teach your daughter how women are supposed to be treated by the relationships you have with the women in her life. Mom, grandma, sisters, all of that. How you treat them is going to teach her how she's supposed to be treated. Right. From that day forward, I decided to be better in the relationships and the way I treat. Not saying we don't argue and all that, but my kids don't hear me raise my voice at my wife unless it's something that's actually serious. And in those moments, even my wife knows, okay, that's that tone. You know what I mean? So, that being said, what I also wanted to add was in regards to preparation. The way I've prepared TJ for success, right, is I've given him access to things that I didn't have access to. We went to the state tournament the other day, watched Jace Gilbert from Arrowhead play. They lost. They got their ass whipped. But that's neither here nor there. But my point being is how many dads would turn their keys over to their 16-year-old and let him drive the Porsche home? I did. Why? Because I want him to know what that feels like. I want him to say to himself, I can have this. I want to normalize success.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing and giving him the 2013 Lexus GS that I could have sold on the street for $23,000. We sold it to him for 12.
Yeah.
We took 7 and kept 5 of our own money because what's the point of giving him 5 so he can turn around and give us 5 back? You know, so again, preparing him for success. Well, this is normal to me. So when I get mine, this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean?
That's huge. You just said so much just now. I wish I could break it down and rewind right now because honestly, all of that.
Everyone that played that back.
No, really. I'm talking about the listeners. No, actually, y'all do that for sure. But like it gets to a point now where you hear that, and then it's like, oh man, that's just him talking. When you are somebody that's actively sitting here with this man right now, like he's not just talking. That is really what is happening actually right now, currently. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, like. Normalizing success needs to happen more in our community, and that is what you have done, and that's what more of us are doing. But it is not as publicized as it should be, because there are a lot of good black fathers out there.
And you brought up, and you just brought up a really good point, and you just made me think of this and everything. This is different from entitlement. You know what I mean? Yeah. This isn't me saying, "Here, son, we're doing good and everything," and. You can do good too. TJ's a three-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. He hits the gym 5 days a week. He maintains a 3.3 GPA or better. He has a freaking job and whatnot. I'm raising a successful, respectful human being. If he weren't doing what he was supposed to be doing, he would not have access to what he has access to. But because he does his job, I pour into this kid. Yep. But he's doing his job because me and mom have expectations.
It is a job. Work is rewarded.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, TJ, right? You made a decision to leave school early because of what?
My mental health wasn't great, and I felt like staying at school would not have benefited it in any way.
And you should have done what?
Talk to your mom to ask if I could go home early versus just going home early.
And you didn't do that, so what happened?
I got my car taken away for a week.
And how'd that make you feel?
Not great.
That's parenting, though. That's important that you did that. I mean,
that's huge.
The mental health thing, that's... incredible. I don't think that one time if I told my father, I got to leave, my mental health ain't there, they didn't understand that aspect of life.
Right. And see, to go off of that, that's why I didn't ask, because before in the past I've asked, hey, mom, not doing so great, can I come home? And she said, no, just stick it out for however long. I ended up being okay, but that last however many hours of the day didn't go so great for me. So this time I was like, I'd rather suffer the consequences versus... asking first, because I didn't feel like they'd understand. But then after talking to them, I feel like we both learned more. Me and my mom, or me talking to my mom and dad, they learned more about, this might need to happen. Because like school is school. You can make up school at the end of the day. A lot of it's good. Some of it you don't need. And like in my eyes, I saw it as, these last two classes aren't really that important towards what I want to do in my life. I'm doing good in those classes. I can afford to miss 2 days. They, especially my mom, saw it as, she saw, in my eyes, he's being defiant, he's skipping school, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Why is that? Versus saying, you don't feel like you can finish the day, why is that? How can we get you help? And we had that conversation after, and tears were shed, and I feel like it was a great experience overall, even though I did lose my car for a week.
Are you the first child?
No, tech. For us.
I got a son out of wedlock.
Can I say something? What I just heard right now, we're two black men, a black father and a black son, come together and speak exactly what needed to be said. You know what I'm saying? You did exactly what you needed to do as a father. You made a conscious decision in the moment that you thought was right. And I think, you know, coming together, and that's where the line gets drawn, is not being able to have that point to come together and talk. Like, that is huge, man. I am really happy that I just heard that, and I hope y'all all hear that. Like, that's, I don't have you brought it up on the podcast, because that is selfish.
That's growth.
That is it, right there.
A black father and a black son. I mean, that's very nuanced, in my opinion. I don't know if that growth...
That goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about us not living in the inner city and everything, and the way I was raised coming up. And that environment isn't how I'm raising my kids coming up in this environment. Yes. Like, my son knows that he can speak to me about whatever he needs to speak to me, as long as he does so respectfully, right? Because I don't want him to fear authority. He knows I'm the authority figure, but he also knows he can approach me about any subject with respect.
And that's it right there. Because that's what it should be. And that's because, like, common sense isn't so common. Like,
common sense, you know? Like, hey,
and all
skin
folks ain't kinfolks. Right. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm really happy that y'all were, like, willing to bring that up, because that is a really huge topic that more people need to be willing to open up.
Honest event, an account of true growth, man. And I mean, learning experience on both parties.
And it really makes me want to bring mom and dad back on the podcast, man.
I just can't imagine it going anywhere near that way. I don't want to say that's okay, but, you know, this is how it was. You know, mental health wasn't something that we addressed.
Right. You're right. And that's and I won't say that's generational, because it is just the willing of how willing are you to learn and grow and develop as a human being. I think they are. I think they are willing and able and
especially at this point.
Man, you know, off mic, you know, we were just talking about just, you know, a little bit of code switching. I know we dove into this a little bit in the past, but, like, how important it is to do, you know, necessarily for, you know, whether it makes you feel safe, whether it makes you, you know, just it's necessary for certain situations. And that's the way it is. TJ being, you know, mixed and... TJ being mixed, you know, growing up, you know, in Waukesha, grew up in Waukesha, right?
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Waukesha, you know, you kind of do meet, like, certain individuals that you vibe with better. Angela, good meeting, man. You be in touch, for sure.
I'll take you back.
Definitely. And I think it's like you vibe differently with different people. And, you know, like you said before, all skin folk ain't kin folk. Sometimes it is a difference of, you know, whether it be somebody that looks like you or not, too. With that being said, TJ, I know you can't say exactly what you just said, but can you elaborate or, like, kind of dive into what you just said to before we just got back on mic?
So what I was talking about is how when, say, I'm in a group of people, half people of color, half people white, I tend to lean towards interacting more with colored people, because it's like I've been through similar things, maybe not the exact same things, but similar things that they've been through, especially with the historical trauma and generational trauma that we talked about earlier, versus the white folk haven't really been through that, and especially, like, it presses my buttons when they try and tell you what you have and haven't been for. And the one thing that really got me, that smile made me think of it, is when my best friend, who was white, tried to tell me that I wasn't half black.
Tried to tell you.
Tried to tell me.
In what way? Like,
we were talking about it, and I think one of my other best friends, who was white, was with me as well, and I was talking about, like, I'm half white and half black. He's like, no, you're not. And then my other best friend, who, like, I've known since 4K, was like, no, his dad's black, his mom's white, he's half black. And my other friend was like, no, he's not. And I feel like really then is when I started to know what my dad meant by try and make friends with the colored people, because they understand you. They know you better.
No, that false.
That's interesting.
We don't like being called colored folks.
You know what? Hey, I was going to say it, but recently that term has popped back up.
And people
are starting to use it again.
That's why I said wait for it.
I just screamed in the mic. Hey, my bad for y'all's ears.
Punishing people's eyes. Headphone users, beware after the fact.
He just talked his shit. TJ just talked his shit. He said a lot of this now in the point of, like, you know, I am visibly something, I guess not to everybody, but I am visibly one thing, and then they tell you that you're not.
Man, that doesn't make any sense to me, because how is he literally going to sit there and tell you what color your dad is, or...
And he's met me. I've been to their house.
That's
Did he you think that you were adopted? Or like, because you know, and the crazy part is, I feel like I've been, I don't even remember exactly if I've been in a situation like that, but I'm pretty sure the same thing has happened to me in the past. I'm like, bro, why do you think that you can tell me? Why do people think they can do that? That's why I asked you, I wanted you to elaborate when I asked you that, you know, what, you know, in what way did he mean that? Because I believe you. I just wanted you to elaborate.
I was about to do that. I feel like it came from the sense of how I handled myself because I don't know how to say this without it sounding racist. No, how white people will be like,
no, you finna say it.
You don't sound black. You don't act black. Yep. I feel like that's exactly that where he was coming from. Because there were some people who were from the hood who went to our school who were black. And I feel like his interaction with them kind of shaped his
CJ, he said you wanted the good ones. He said you wanted the good ones.
You are one of those people that thinks that all black people need to act or behave a certain way. Just stop it right now. Because there's no room for that in this world. Everybody is different. You know, I don't think, you know, anybody cares that Eminem is from the hood and he acts the way that he does. No one's ever said anything that meant, you know, in 8 Mile they did. And they made fun of him and shit. But no one, I wonder why is it that, you know, white people hold black people to the same standard. Like, they have to behave a certain type of way. Otherwise, their blackness is in check. And even black people are guilty of this, too. Right. You know, there's no room for that in this world. Everybody is different. And how dare you tell somebody what they are or what they aren't based off what you think they should be. Because that's not what it is. That's not where we are right now.
Check this out, right? It's like, when did intelligence only become a white thing?
Thank you. Yes. That's the one.
That's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you can be who you are, right? Oh, and something else I wanted to say earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
When y'all first said it and everything. Code switching. For those that don't understand what it is, office voice. Yeah. That's what we're talking about for all our black folks out there.
Right.
We're talking about when you go from speaking amongst ourselves to, hello, you've reached forever faded. Tim speaking, how can I help you? You know what I mean? And not to be nasally, but we all have that office
that voice. Like, it's for real. And even to the point where I've seen white people do it. I've seen white people do it. They'll talk to me a certain way differently than they'll talk to their mom and their dad.
Yep.
That is so significant and profound to me because they know what it is. They choose not to entertain it because acknowledge it and then say that we're wrong for feeling a certain way about it. So, like, it does. I give people the benefit of the doubt on certain things when it comes to ignorance, but when it comes to real lived situations that they've actually been through and they say, no, that's not true, and they tell you that you're wrong for it or they say that you're not this for it, like, that's where I draw the line on that stupidity shit because that's where it is. That's where you are willfully ignorant at that point. Now you choose to be ignorant. So, end of the day,
or when they act like they don't understand the words coming out of your mouth, especially when you speak to them calmly at first, and no emotional, and they drive you to the emotion for their their pretend ignorance.
So, hey, you start to get with the hands and shit at that point.
Like, oh, then you're just an angry black man at that point. You're an angry black man at that point. But man, I am so happy we did that and talked about that because there is so much more to talk about, and I wish we had so much more time. But man, like we. We having a part two, three, four, five, six, seven.
We got a part two coming anyway. Man, we didn't fit in this time, you will hear next time.
Yeah. If anything, y'all can take away.
This might just be an ongoing episode.
Honestly, if you could take away one thing from this episode, I really hope the fact that you take away what TJ said and what him and Tim both elaborated on and talked about because that is so profound. The dynamic relationship to me is incredible, and I love that.
I don't think that we've had the opportunity to have a father and son on our podcast yet, and I think that
your dad was on.
Well, besides,
that's what you're saying.
And you know, actually talking about the dynamic, you know, between the father and son, you know, kind of dissecting
facts.
And you know, I appreciate that. I think it adds a lot to the podcast, and that was needed.
Man, this was amazing, man. What a way to start season four. Honestly, like, truly thankful both of y'all. Seriously, man. I'm so, like, I want to cry almost, man. Like, I'm serious, man. That was beautiful. But, man,
I hope to see you in the chair, too, big bro.
Nah, for real, man. I love to get him in here. But these guys, we're going to have him back on. I'm happy Bryce was back with me. I mean, this is amazing. I want to shout out a couple things. 321 Jumper, Mason McMullen, check him out. He's dropping singles at this moment right now,
yeah,
like in real time.
Thing, man. He's making some art, and I like it. And he's very passionate about it, and he loves it. So,
right. You know, I told him he sounds like Mac Miller.
Shout out Mace, man. Shout out
Yeah,
Mace, man.
Big McMullen, Big Mac, dog. I'm telling you, man, for real. Shout out to you and to Jake McDonald, man. 3-2-1 Jumper. The songs are fire. Shout out to Forever Faded. For you, Tim, for bringing us here, for having us here, and for doing what you're doing. Like I said, the legacy, that's a whole different topic. Like, I wanted to get into that more, but I mean, like, the fact is, we ran out of time. We'll talk about it in a different podcast. Thank you, though, man. Thank you for giving us the space, and also just being you, man. You are who you are regardless. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I love. Like, you are one of the best people to talk about stuff like this with, because this is more what we've already talked about off camera.
I was really impressed because you obviously have some experience podcast. You know, a lot of times people come on, you know, it takes them a little bit to warm up and get used to it. But man, you started off right off the bat, right, man. Started going crazy, man. Yeah. Spent some facts,
right?
And you know, giving some enlightenment to people, and you know, honestly, just being fun to listen to, for real, man.
It really
was. And TJ, you seriously. Too, man. Good,
salute, bro.
Good.
Honestly,
both
you
talk,
bro.
Man,
I'm not gonna lick my leg because these wives are kicking my ass. This shit is kicking back up.
Also, one more thing. Shout out Mikey Harris, our boy that we had on. You hear him on 2 episodes from Talk Your Shit. He's had a podcast he started. He's about 5 episodes in. I apologize, Mikey, if you're more than 5 right now, but I remember 5 being up. So yeah, man, shout out to you, shout out to him. Check him out. It's called Talk Your Shit. It's available on everything but YouTube, I believe, right now. So yeah, hey, shout out to
we're working on YouTube.
Everybody.
Too,
yeah, we're getting on YouTube.
We're going
crazy this season. Don't expect too much, you know, from us in the terms of the consistency, but when we drop an episode, you know it's gonna be fire, and you know it's gonna be fire for a reason. So that's why I thank y'all for tuning back in, seriously, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you again, Tim. Thank you, TJ, for being here.
Salute, my man. Pleasure's mine. Right, thanks for having us.
What it,
Big Kev said, hey, peace.
Peace.